the international.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Sporty Olympic greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the August 3rd Olympic edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. In what's being described as one of the greatest races in athletics history, Norway's Carsten Warholm smashed the men's 400 meters hurdles world record Tuesday with a time of 45.94 seconds to win the gold medal at the Tokyo Olympics. American Ry Benjamin won the silver medal in 46.17 seconds, which was well inside the previous world record of 46.70 seconds set by Warholm in Oslo last month. And Brazil's Alisson dos Santos won the bronze medal in 46.72 seconds. Here's Carsten Warholm on his world record performance.
It's so crazy, and it's by far the biggest moment of my life. And I told myself going in here today that, you know, this can actually define everything that me and my coach has been working for, all the hours that I put in.
Meanwhile, silver medalist Ry Benjamin describes the thrilling Olympic race.
I was coming. I just ran out of space. But I felt my legs. But like I said, ran out of real estate. But it's a phenomenal race, you know. This was probably the best race ever in Olympic history. I don't think any other race compares to what we just did.
In the Olympic women's long jump final Tuesday in Tokyo, Germany's Malaika Mihambo won the gold medal with a leap of 7 meters even. The 27-year-old Mihambo is also the reigning world champion. She was born in Heidelberg, Germany, to a German mother and a Tanzanian father. 2012 Olympic champion Brittany Reese of the USA won the silver medal with a jump of 6 meters 97. The 34-year-old Reese says the Tokyo Games mark her Olympic goodbye.
This definitely is my last Olympic. And on the competition, it was a great competition. I mean, it's fitting that, you know, I've beaten people on the last jump and I go out getting beaten on the last jump. So it's really cool to be here and watch the next generation of great long jumpers.
Brittany Reese finished tied at 6 meters 97 with Nigeria's Esse Brume, who won the Olympic bronze medal in Tokyo. But the American Reese won the silver because of her second best jump of 6 meters 95, which was 5 centimeters longer than Brume's effort. The 25-year-old Brume also won a bronze medal at the 2019 World Championships in Doha, but this is her first Olympic medal. Another Nigerian athlete, Enoch Adegoke, ran in Sunday's final of the men's 100 meters race, but could not finish because of a hamstring injury. I'll get back to Enoch, but first, let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to the surprise winner of the men's 100 meters, the Italian Lamont Marcel Jacobs. He won the gold medal in 9.80 seconds in the post-Usain Bolt era, and his victory set off celebrations in Italy. But getting back to Enoch Adegoke, his coach is Ayokunle Odeluse. And in an interview with Iron Mike Mbonye, the coach said he's proud of Enoch's Olympic performance in Tokyo.
I'm very happy that Enoch was able to make the finals in the Olympic Games in Tokyo. I'm very happy. It's what every coach would wish for. And, you know, for your hard work, your training preparation for competitions, and it's bringing results. It's a great thing. I am really, really happy for the results. Yeah, and Enoch is also very, very happy. Yeah, and that's it. He also happens to have a personal best in the Olympic Games when he did the heat.
For how long have you been coaching Enoch Adegoke?
I've been coaching Enoch for about 6 years now. And Enoch is an athlete, a very rare athlete like most of my athletes there in OAU. Is very disciplined and dedicated towards training. You can rely on that. And he really had, he really have this motivation and the drive to achieve and, you know, strive for more. I believe Enoch would, as we have a new plan, we want to bring the African record back to Nigeria. So, I mean, yeah, he has the prospect to do better than that in future.
We understand you could not travel to Tokyo for the Olympic Games. What happened? Now, how did you coach Enoch while in Japan?
Yeah, I wasn't able to go to the Olympics. The thing is, Enoch was told that my accreditation wasn't ready when he got his own accreditation. And when the list came out, my name happened to come out as a personal coach for Enoch, which I really I can't say much about. I wasn't put in the list of coaches. I was put in the list of a personal coach. And they told Enoch that my accreditation is being worked on. When Enoch's travel ticket was sent to him when he was with me in Germany to train for the Olympics, the accreditation wasn't sent with it. It was just the travel ticket to Tokyo. And as you know, it's not possible for you to just take an air ticket to the airport that you want to travel without an accreditation for the games. And knowing fully well the situation, the corona situation, I mean, it's stricter than before. So, I mean, and up till the competition started, the accreditation wasn't ready. And as I could understand, Enoch was being told till the last minute that the accreditation is being worked on, and it never came. That's what I understand about the accreditation thing. I mean, it's painful. Where the job of a coach starts, it's where Enoch got to the finals. He needs someone that will be there for him to boost his morale psychologically, because the body is tired at that point. As you can see, it reflects even in everything most of the athletes, you know, did during the final. That's where the job of a coach started. And, you know, it's actually painful that nobody was on ground to even just tell him after the injury happened to just walk through, you know? I mean, this is the first time he's having a situation like that he got injured and he couldn't even finish the race. And it would have been a bit better when someone just out of, you know, the people there, I mean, the coaching crew actually, to just, you know, find a way to signal to him or, you know, call his attention or something for him to just walk through the finish line, we would have earned him a point. Yeah, I mean, he happens to be in the Olympics, but we shouldn't forget he's not as experienced as most of these athletes he ran with. Yeah, well, in all, we are very satisfied with the competition. He did really, really well, and I'm proud of him. And to all other athletes that couldn't compete, it's sad. And it's unfortunate. We believe in them as well. We believe if they were given the opportunity, they would do even very well as Enoch did. I mean, I believe and I pray things change in the future.
That's Ayokunle Odeluse, the coach of Olympic sprinter Enoch Adegoke. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Germany.
Sports greetings. This is Ayokunle Odeluse, a Nigerian athletic coach to Enoch Obaluluwa Adegoke. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, coach.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world. Tune in and interact live with us here in Washington, D.C.
Hello, Shirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight?
Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT.
Six.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we all can help fight the global pandemic by frequently washing our hands with soap and water or using hand sanitizers. For more information on protecting yourself and others, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa Center for Disease Control. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and you're listening to a special Olympic edition of the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. In Olympic Wrestling Tuesday in Japan, Tamira Mariana Mensah-Stock of the United States defeated Nigeria's Blessing Oborududu in the gold medal match of the women's 68-kilogram division. Mensah-Stock won on points 4-1, so she gets the gold medal. And Oborududu wins the silver medal for Team Nigeria. This is Nigeria's second medal at the Tokyo Games. I mentioned Ese Brume winning bronze and the women's long jump earlier in the show.
Sporting greetings. This is Ese Brume, 3 times African champion in long jump. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sport on The Voice of America.
In Olympic boxing Tuesday, American Duke Reagan defeated Ghana's Samuel Tachi on points 4-1 in the semifinals of the men's featherweight division. Tachi gets a bronze medal for Ghana, the country's first Olympic medal in 29 years. And Duke Reagan moves on to the gold medal bout. Talk to us, Duke!
It's a lot at stake right now to win a gold medal, of course, so I don't really want to go home with, I didn't want to go home with a bronze, nor do I want to go home with a silver, so it's just pushing me to get that extra win. On the first day, I was dead tired. Second day, picked it up. Third day, picked it up. But since the fourth day, had to finish strong. So it's been some great competition where they making me actually work. You see that I like to sit back and look pretty, but I got a boo-boo right now, so I got to fight.
Duke's got to fight. That's Olympic featherweight boxer Duke Reagan of Team USA, who will fight in the gold medal bout at the Tokyo Olympics. More track and field results now in the Olympic women's 800 meters final. Let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to Uthing Mo, who won the gold medal for Team USA in a national record time of 1 minute and 55.21 seconds. Uthing is 19 years old, and she's the daughter of South Sudanese parents who came to the United States before she was born. In the women's 200 meters final, Jamaica's Elaine Thompson-Herah won her second gold medal at the Tokyo Games, clocking a national record 21.53 seconds. Elaine also won the women's 100 meters final in Tokyo, duplicating her performance 5 years ago in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, where she swept Olympic gold in the 100 and 200 meter races. Namibia's 18-year-old speed sensation, Christine Mboma, won the Olympic silver medal Tuesday in the women's 200 meters with a time of 21.81 seconds. And American Gabrielle Thomas won the bronze in 21.87 seconds.
Sport greetings, everyone. This is Falilat Ogukoya, Olympic silver and bronze medalist. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sport on Voice of America.
In Olympic men's football, Spain will play defending Olympic champion Brazil in Saturday's gold medal match in Yokohama, Japan. In semifinal action Tuesday, Spain beat host Japan 1-0 in extra time in Saitama. The winning goal came in the 115th minute from Real Madrid man Marco Asensio. And Brazil beat Mexico 4-1 on penalty kicks after 120 minutes of scoreless football in Kashima. Once again, it's Spain versus defending Olympic men's football champion Brazil in the gold medal match at the Tokyo Games.
Sporty greetings. This is Emmanuel Amuneke, former Nigerian player, former Tanzanian coach. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Many thanks. Remain blessed and stay safe. God bless you.
Hello. This is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Yao Afusu-Larbi caught up with a now-retired Ghanaian footballer who scored a goal at the 1968 Olympics in Mexico City. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, let's listen in again to Yao's feature. Sporty greetings, Yao!
Sporty greetings, Sunny. The 60s were Ghana's glory years in football. The organization of the Black Stars, trophy wins, that 13-0 win against Kenya in Nairobi, and many more. Known wildly as the Brazilians of African football, Ghana was the ideal African football country. All of it orchestrated by a group whose names have been etched into the very fabric of football in this country. Wilberforce Nfum, Agrifin, Reverend Osei Kofi and Kofi Pare are names that ring bells. But there is one man among that crop whose name is criminally missing. His legacy buried in the sands of time. In 1965, he was flown alone by the then president, Dr. Kwame Nkrumah, to Tunis to play in the Africa Cup of Nations after he missed the flight due to personal reasons. The man, Amusa Gbadamusi.
He was a genius. I saw him. People who don't see, who have not seen Amusa will never agree on what I'm saying. We produced great players like Abedi, Gago, Hamza Mohamed, and others. Sheila and a lot of us, eh? But Amusa was unique. If you see Amusa playing, you will like it. You admire him. He was an all-round player. Amusa was a good shooter. He was a good dribbler and a playmaker. Amusa is the greatest player the North has ever produced. The Black Star went to Brazil. How was Amusa received in Brazil? Amusa in his hotel finds it difficult to come out because the mob was always waiting for Amusa. Amusa, you see him, was the real Pele. If you talk of Ghana Pele, it's Amusa. God the mercy. I played alongside Abedi. Abedi is his time. He was lucky. He was exposed to the world. There were TVs. There were cameras all over the place. People were seeing him live. So the people liked Abedi. He has the charisma, but he cannot compare himself to Amusa Gbadamusi I saw.
In 1969, when Santos of Brazil took on Accra Hearts of Oak at the Accra Sports Stadium, Amusa Gbadamusi was the star man for Hearts of Oak. He scored in that game that ended 2-2, and after the game, he had a discussion with Pele, a discussion that went really, really well. Pele loved the man. These days, he is back where it all started in Bimbila, in his humble beginnings, and in this house, here in the Northern Region. There are moments in every player's career that is noted as the most important. And for Gbadamusi, it was that game against Brazilian powerhouse Santos in Accra. The photo of him handing over a smock to the legendary Pele has become one of the most iconic yet unknown Ghanaian football photos. Amusa has great memories from that day.
Well, one event, for instance, meeting Pele of Brazil was one of those. Because I had that name Pele too before they came to Ghana to play. So it was quite interesting. But unfortunately to me, their goalkeeper wasn't all that good. Because the sort of goal I scored him, he shouldn't have allowed me to score that sort of a goal. Pele was Pele. And I must say, Ghana's Pele was also Ghana's Pele. See, he was great.
At Hearts of Oak, Amusa was the outright star. He started his career in Tamale, but it was at several football meets that officials from Hearts of Oak saw him and expressed interest. An official from the club visited his home in Bimbila to convince his parents to choose the capital club. Before then, he had played one game for Nkrumah's team, the Real Republicans.
Black Stars were to play Real Madrid. It was 62. So he brought me and George Alasa to watch that match in Accra. Then after that, they brought me to Republicans. I didn't like Accra. Okay. At that, because I was enjoying everything in Tabari. Right. So I played for them against Azakes in a league match. And I was staying at the director's house in Osun. Because I was not used to Accra.
The Hearts of Oak Kotoko rivalry did not just start. There's an age-old bad blood between the two clubs. But Amosi moved to Kumasi Asante Kotoko in 1971 and got a fair share of antagonism from the Hearts faithful.
I went to Kotoko.
How did the Hearts of Oak fans take it at the time?
I didn't even tell them I was going anywhere. So before they heard about what, you know, I was in Kumasi. It was after Olympics, when they came to play Olympics in Accra, because I left us, I didn't follow them. I know our supporters very well. So I was in Kumasi when they came and played the Olympics.
Amusa was a people's person. He believed in where he hailed from, his heritage. The skills he performed on the pitch were exceptional. He was a gifted player. He was one of those players many looked forward to seeing on match days. His time with the national team, though, barely bore fruits of his quality. In 1968, at the Summer Olympic Games in Mexico City, a tournament he believes Ghana should have performed way better in, he was one of the most important players in the team. There was him, Jones Atukwefio, Sami Sampene, Malik Jabir, Ibrahim Sunday, Johnny Shen, and the mystical Robert Mensah. That team was eliminated in the group stages after facing Israel, El Salvador, and Hungary. But Badamosi believes they could have done better.
Some players were so jealous about me that they got angry.
From what you're saying, it was just some infighting in the team that led to that.
Oh, yes. If some of those players who are still alive will talk the truth.
Amusa lives in Bimbila now, 147 kilometers from the northern region's capital, Tamale. This is where his rise to stardom in the 60s and 70s started, but not in comfortable conditions. He admits that this is a far cry from where he was three decades ago. Now living a very simple life, losing his eyesight by the day, Amusa wants a proper structure at the Professional Footballers Association of Ghana for retired footballers. But Amusa lived his football life to the fullest. But in the face of all the challenges now, he still has the wherewithal to crack a smile. If anyone asks of football legends from here, the list is long enough. But always remember the man from Bimbila, Amusa Badamosi. From Bimbila, in Ghana's northern region. This is Yao Fusilabi for the Sunny Side of Sports.
The Voice of America's global news program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 17:05 UTC on The Voice of America.
Thanks, Steve. That's my VOA colleague, Steve Miller. VOA's Gwen Uten joins us once again with an Olympic profile of Puerto Rico's new gold medalist in the women's 100 meters hurdles, Jasmine Camacho Quinn. Sporty Olympic greetings, Gwen.
Sporty Olympic greetings, Sonny. Jasmine Camacho Quinn won gold for Puerto Rico for only the second time in its history and for the first time in track and field. She set a new Olympic record in the 100-meter hurdles in the semifinals, and despite ultimately finishing with a time of 12.37 seconds, Camacho Quinn told Reuters News she gave herself a quick critique before her gold-winning performance finally sunk in.
At first, I was upset because I hit the hurdle, but I'm like, we're at the Olympics, and you just want a gold medal, like, and it hit me there. I was like, I just want an Olympic gold medal. Like, that's something huge. And I waited 5 years for this. So, I mean, the feeling is, you can't really describe it, honestly. It's just like a lot of excitement.
This year marks Camacho Quinn's second appearance at the Olympic Games, and hitting a hurdle would have been a devastating case of history repeating itself. She literally crashed out of the semifinals at the Rio Games in 2016 after she missed a hurdle and was disqualified. It's been 5 years since she had the chance to run in an Olympic final, and the 24-year-old says she arrived in Tokyo with the memory of Rio behind her.
Like, I came here not playing games. I just broke the Olympic record. And, you know, you only have a chance every four, this time 5 years, but usually every 4 years to do that. And I did it. My name's up there. it's an amazing feeling, though, just to be able to come out here and break the Olympic record and win the gold medal.
Camacho Quinn is a native of the U.S. state of South Carolina, born to parents who competed in track and field in college. Her father is African-American, but ahead of the Rio Games, Camacho Quinn made the decision to represent Puerto Rico at the Olympics in honor of her maternal roots.
Me being, I'm mixed, I let it be known, I have that choice. Like, I have that choice to represent. If I wanted to represent the U.S., I could. I want to represent Puerto Rico. I can, which I did. You know, but this is me representing a smaller country that's a part of me, and this gives a lot of kids hopes, and there's a lot of people like me out there that, you know, is mixed or grew up in the States, and, you know, we know our Puerto Rican roots, though. So, you know, like, I had the option. I chose Puerto Rico, and that's what it is.
And Camacho Quinn has a message for all young athletes in countries around the world.
Any athlete, it doesn't matter what sport that you do, when you step out there, give it your all, you know, and that's really it. Like, you have to be dedicated to what you do. Stay true to yourself.
Standing alongside Camacho Quinn on the podium was American Kenny Harrison, who won the silver medal. Harrison is the current world record holder in the women's 100-meter hurdles, and Megan Tapper won bronze for the country of Jamaica. And in case you're wondering why Puerto Rico does not compete under Team USA, since 1948, the International Olympic Committee has recognized the U.S. territory as a separate entity from the United States, and Puerto Rico is considered to be a country in Olympic competitions. And that is all from me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. And And that wraps up the August 3rd Olympic edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.